All right, good morning, everyone. Indeed, it is a privilege for me this morning, yeah, to be here and to share the word of God, yeah, with you, all of us in KLBC Desa Park City. Yeah, so as introduced earlier, yeah, my name is Brandon Wong. Yeah, I originated from Kota Kinabalu, Sabah, and have been serving in the Klang Valley since 2019. So currently I am serving as the youth pastor at Taman Mida Lutheran Church in Cheras. Yeah, I enjoy preaching and teaching. I used to teach the certificate in youth leadership program with MBTS. And then now I also occasionally teach Bible courses at Equip Seminary. Here is a picture of my family. Yeah, I'm married with my wife Karen. And we have one son, Noah, who will turn 22 months next week. But due to the distance and timing, yeah, they are unable to join me today. All right, before we prepare ourselves, yeah, to look into the Word of God and to see what we can learn this morning, let us come together before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Father, this morning as we gather in your sanctuary, Lord, we come to worship you. And Lord, we praise you for who you are, for all of the good that you have done in our lives. And Lord, now as we come to your word, we come not just to listen, but we want to understand. And so Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit stir our hearts. Give us wisdom so that we can live a life that is Christ-like, a life that is glorifying to you. And so, Lord, we commit this time of learning into your hands. Lead us, guide us, teach us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The title for my message this morning is Listen and See. You see, we often have to always remind little children, yeah, to see or look at where they are going, yeah, because they don't. Yeah, they don't look properly, yeah, at where they are running at, yeah, or where they are heading towards, and they would easily end up injuring, yeah, themselves, yeah, falling down, hitting into something. My son sometimes likes to walk backwards, yeah, for some reason. Or he likes to suddenly sprint ahead while looking down, yeah, not looking forward. And as you would expect, he would end up crashing into something most of the time. So I always have to tell him, hey, look at where you're walking. Look in front. Yeah, don't walk backwards. See. Children also do not like to listen. Yeah, I think one of the most repeated words of a teacher in school is, listen, yeah, listen to me, listen to teacher. Yeah, it's quiet, listen. Yeah, because students, children will do anything except listening to the instruction, yeah, or listening to the lesson. Yeah, my son now is heading towards his terrible 2 stage and listening is his least favorite thing to do. Yeah, before we even end our sentence, he already say no, 不要, I don't want to listen. So when dealing with little children who doesn't see properly or doesn't want to listen, it can be very frustrating. Yeah, especially when they always end up putting themselves into trouble. Yeah, precisely because they didn't see and they didn't listen. But as believers, we are often the same as well. As believers, as Christians, very frequent in our lives, we also have often not see God's commandment and not listen to God's instruction. And therefore today, God is also calling each and every one of us to listen and see. And the passage that we will be learning from this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 42. Where God is dealing with the Israelites who are called spiritually deaf and blind. Now the lesson that we will draw is actually from the whole chapter of 42. But for the reading of the verses, I will just read to you from verses 14 to 21. So let us look at Isaiah chapter 42. And I'll read to you verses 14 to 21. And this is what it says. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hill and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. And I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame, who trust in carved idols, who say to metal images, "You are our gods." Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? He sees many things. Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as a servant of the Lord? He sees many things, but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased, for his righteousness' sake, to magnify his law and make it glorious. I think there are two major things that I would like to take us to look at, from Isaiah chapter 42 this morning. Firstly, in this passage, in this chapter, the whole chapter is actually talking about God's servant. Yeah, so the chapter begins by describing God's ideal servant. Yeah, the chapter actually begins in a very good way, unlike what was read to us just now. The chapter begins very positively, because it's about God's ideal servant. And from verse 1 onwards, it describes that God's servant is someone, who he upholds. It is someone whom God has chosen and placed his spirit upon. And his servant bring forth justice. Does not make a fuss. He is faithful and he persevere in all that he do. So the servant of God should help open the eyes of the blind, bring freedom to those who are bounded, and praise the Lord daily. From this description, I believe we can all agree, this is wonderful. This is how the servant of God should be like. And so when God called Israel to be his people, he called the Israelites, he called them his people, this is also the expectation that he has for them. You are my people, you are my servant, and you will uphold my righteousness, my standards, and my commandments. So all of the laws and the commandments that God has given to his people, the prophets that he has sent to them to deliver his words, all of these are with the purpose to shape the Israelites to be his faithful servant. But for us who know the history of the Old Testament, we know that the Israelites failed. They failed to achieve this description. They failed to live up as God calling for them. And therefore, many scholars then say that it seems that the description in the first part of Isaiah 42 is not talking about the Israelites, because they are not like that. Instead, this description of the servant here would actually point towards Christ. And indeed, Christ is the only one who is able to live out as that ideal servant of God. Yeah, his life and ministry displayed everything that is found in verse 1 to 13. In fact, in the New King James Version of the Bible, yeah, in Isaiah 42 verse 1 to 13, the word servant in these verses were actually capitalized. Yeah, in order to show that, hey, the servant here is not Israelites, huh? It's not anyone else. It is pointing to Jesus. It's a clear reference to Jesus. Even Matthew, when he wrote the Gospel of Matthew chapter 12 verse 16 to 21, he also quoted verse 1 to 5 to show that this passage in Isaiah is a prophecy that is fulfilled in Jesus. Yeah, so here we have the ideal servant. Yeah, the description of the ideal servant, because it is too wonderful, too perfect, it's clear that this is not Israel, but Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior. But then when we reach to verse 14, there's a sudden shift of tone. On one hand, the passage still continues to talk about God's servant. It's still the same theme. God is still saying, my servant. But on the other hand, now, the way this servant is being described is very different from the first 13 verses. Because now this servant is described in a very negative manner. This servant is said to be deaf and blind. Yeah, this servant causes God to run out of patience because they turn to idols, they turn to carved metals and say, these are our gods. They do not observe God's law and God's commandments. They plunder and loot. They are utterly ruined. And God's anger is poured out upon them, but they still fail to understand their wrong. Now, this servant sounds like the Israelites. During the time when Isaiah 42 was written, Israel was already defeated by Babylon, and they are already taken into exile. So, in fact, in the last verses in chapter 42, it talks about, why are they in ruin? Why are they in exile? Why are they in destruction? It says that because God brings judgment upon them, because they have failed. Yeah, so their city and temple are in ruins, home and communities are destroyed. They live in a foreign land as a consequence of their disobedience and wickedness. So despite still being called the servant of God, they are called to bring forth justice and righteousness. They did not. Instead, they turn to idols and practice all kinds of immoralities. They are supposed to be the ideal servant described in the first 13 verses. But yet, they ended up being the deaf and blind servant. And what does this speak to us today, this morning? You see, as Christians, we too are called and upheld as servants of God. As Christians, we are also expected to be a servant like how the first 13 verses have described. Yeah, chosen by God. God's Spirit is upon us. That we are supposed to live out righteousness, to help the poor and needy, to do not have fuss, even in difficult times, to always faithfully serve the Lord. So likewise, when God calls us, He also expects us to live up to His standard. Yeah, His calling. We are called to be like Christ. Yeah, the example of the ideal. But just like the Israelites, we too have failed terribly. And this is something that we have to acknowledge. That we also are more like the servant in verse 14 onwards rather than the servant in verse 1 to 13. Because instead of living out justice and righteousness, we also have lived in corruption. We too have committed transgressions against God. So how are we supposed to resolve this? And which is why it is important for us to first acknowledge that this is our situation. Just like Isaiah is also reminding the Israelites. Because many of them are complaining. God is not fair. Why are we in exile? Why are we in Babylon? God, why are you treating us like this? And Isaiah 42 comes as a wake-up call for them. Yes, you are God's servant. Yes, you are God's people. But you're supposed to look like this. Verse 1 to 13. This is what you're supposed to look like. But instead, you look so different from that. And so verse 14 all the way to verse 22 shows how they are like deaf and blind. And then verse 43 onwards then explains to them, reminds them the consequences of their failure. And today we too also have to understand. Yeah, sometimes we overestimate ourselves. We thought, okay, I'm very good already. Yeah, my spiritual life, no problem. Yeah, I'm in a good place. Everything I do seems good. But perhaps we are still very far from the ideal. Perhaps in many moments in our life, we are deaf and blind towards God's works and God's words. And so we have to acknowledge that. We have to acknowledge our spiritual deafness and blindness. Only then we can start to see what can we do to resolve this. So Isaiah 42 calls the deaf and blind to listen and see. Like I mentioned, sometimes we fail to realize how much dirt that we have in our life. Yeah, in reality, our lives are probably like the old shelf at the corner of your house that you have not cleaned for ages. Yeah, it is only when you start wiping it properly, then you realize, wow, the layer of dirt, so much layer. Every time you wipe, still got dirt underneath. Yeah, because multiple layers of dust and grease has accumulated and integrated into it. Yeah, you have to use all kinds of chemicals and solutions to wipe. And only after cleaning, you realize that that brown shelf is actually a yellow shelf. Yeah, because it has been so dirty all the while, you thought that was the color. But it wasn't supposed to be that color. Yeah, it was not originally that color. But dirt has covered it for so long that you got used to it. So when we do not properly look at our lives, sometimes we will take things for granted. Sometimes because we are so used to sin, wickedness and transgression, it integrated into our life that when we look at ourselves, we see nothing wrong, clean. It's like when I tell my son to tidy up his toy, he also often does not see properly. Yeah. Whole room in a mess. Then he'll take a few toy, he'll put back, and then finish already. And say clean already. When in reality, all around him is still in a mess. There's still toys everywhere. So I have to remind him, I have to point to him, you see here, still got. You see here, still got. Then I say, oh, then he go take and only clean, continue to tidy up. The contrast in Isaiah 42 is a calling for the failed servant to not only look at their own failures, because if they only look at themselves, it's hard for them to see what's wrong. But rather the contrast there is given is so that they can see what the ideal should look like. Yeah, it is to show a difference, how far you are from what you are supposed to be like. And for us today, it is the same. The contrast there we know, verse 1 to 13, is about Christ. So for us today, we are called to look at Christ, to see Jesus as who He is, to see Him as our role model and to meditate on Him. You see, how can you tell the difference between a genuine and a counterfeit note or money? It's actually not being familiar with the fake. Yeah, because there are so many fakes, so many versions of fake out there, you can never be familiar with the fake. The only way to tell the difference is for you to be familiar with the genuine one. Because only when you know all of the features of a genuine note, that when something is amiss, something is different, then you know, okay lah, this one fake one lah. Something wrong man, because real one's supposed to be like this. If the one is not the same like the real, then it's fake. It's as simple as that. The same is with our lives. The way we can see, yeah, the faults that we have, the way we can see the dirt and the sin that we have hidden in our lives is for us to see Christ. Look at Jesus. Look at the ideal. See Him. There's no need even for us to compare ourselves with one another. That would be like comparing a counterfeit note with another counterfeit. Who is more counterfeit? All are counterfeit lah. Don't compare with one another. Yeah? All of us have fallen short of God's glory. But rather, let us look at Christ. Look at His example. See, even when we learn from one another, yes, we still learn from one another lah. When I say don't compare with one another, doesn't mean that we cannot learn from one another. But when we learn from one another, we learn from the Christ in each other. Which is why Paul was very careful when he said, imitate me. It's not imitating Paul, the person, but he said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. It's still the same. Look at Christ. So Paul is looking at Christ and he hopes that people who see him would see the Christ in him. And that is who we should see. Jesus. Only when we look at the true light that we will see the darkness within us. See. We are also called to listen. To listen to God's voice. See, without listening, we will also remain ignorant in what is right and what is wrong. But if we can be more sensitive to God's voice, we are able to listen, to discern what His will is and what His commandment is for us. For example, an experienced mechanic can tell the problem of a car just by listening to it. Yeah, because they are so familiar with the sound of the car. Yeah, the sound of the engine, the sound of the gear transmission, the brakes and suspension. So when they hear something funny, they hear something that sounds different, they could tell what the issue is already. Yeah, they know which part of the car is problematic. Yeah, which is why sometimes when you explain the problem and they also don't understand what you're explaining, they will take your car for a test drive. Yeah, they will drive around and they will listen. They listen, where is the part that is that has something wrong? When we are sensitive to God's voice, when we are able to listen, we would also be able to know the problems that are hidden in our lives. We will naturally know what we should fix or where we should fix. But very often we have failed to listen and see all of this. And therefore Isaiah 42 continue to give us a good news. Like God already knows. God knows the Israelites are blind and deaf. So even before he go to the verses in describing how deaf and blind they are, in verse 16, God already gave a words of hope. Yeah, for his people. He says, I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In the path that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light. The rough places into level ground. These things I do, and I do not forsake them. Very interesting. This statement came out before he talks about how deaf and blind his servants are. It's not after. It clearly shows that God knows what is going to happen. He knows how deaf and blind the Israelites are. So before he even point to them their problem, he tells them first what he is going to do. And he says, I will lead them. I will guide them. I do not forsake them. God knows the Israelites will fail. He also knows that the believers, all of us today, will also fail to achieve the ideal by our own might. And therefore, He promised that He will help us. And this means that Christ is not just the model of the ideal servant. He also came to become the ideal servant on our behalf, to do what we cannot do, to fulfill what we have failed. He accomplished what we are supposed to do. And therefore, the passage again calls us to listen and look at Christ. So what are we listening at and looking at in our lives? Living in a time where there is just so much things to listen and see, listen and hear, we are easily distracted and led astray. Yeah, we spend more time listening to sound and music, yeah, of gossip and slanders, worldly entertainment and scandalous news. We immerse ourselves in watching shows with perversion and sensuality, immorality presented as art, overstimulating graphics and illustration. And this is why we have become so blind towards the works of God and become so deaf towards the words of God. So how can we listen and see better? And the answer is one that we all know. It's no surprise or secret answer. The answer is very straightforward. Spend more time with God. Yeah, just like a husband and wife relationship. When they don't spend much time with each other, they will start to feel that the other party is not listening to them or not seeing their needs and desire. So when we don't spend time with God, we will not be listening to Him and we will not be able to see His works, to see His desire and His will. So how much time do you actually spend with God? Out of your 24 hours every day, how many of it goes to prayer, devotion, reading of the Bible, or worship? We need to fix the mindset that spending time with God during our free time. Yeah, we always have this mindset, I'll spend time with God in my free time. But for those of us who live in an urban setting, in a city lifestyle, there's no free time. This is an ancient concept. There's no free time in the modern world. So if we say, okay, I'll spend time with God in my free time, but there's no free time, means we don't spend time with God. And this means that many Christians, other than just Sunday worship, almost do not spend any time with God in their personal life. And therefore, this makes us even more deaf and even more blind. So we have to be intentional in spending time with God. We have to intentionally set aside time. Remove ourselves from our environment, from our routine. Quiet down before God. Didn't Jesus do that? Yeah, in the midst of His busy ministry, there are crowds all around. His disciples is always sticking with Him. Wow, it's a very hectic life. But from time to time, you will see Jesus will suddenly retreat, yeah, from the crowd. Retreat even from His disciples. He will go to a quiet place and pray to His Father in heaven. You see, when a child is overstimulated, whatever you say to that child does not go in. Already overstimulated, especially in a noisy or chaotic environment. So you need to remove that child from the stimulating environment, from all of the noise, and then into a quiet place, and you let the child calm down. Only then the child would be able to see you properly and to listen to you. And we need to do this in our lives as well. Yeah, in the midst of our chaotic, hectic, yeah, noisy environment, we need to be intentional to remove ourselves from that environment into a quiet place. Only then we can start to see God and to listen to Him. It doesn't have to be a long time. I'm not saying you have to do that at least 2 hours every day. I understand not everyone has the liberty to do so. Yeah, our life is indeed busy. It doesn't have to be hours. It doesn't have to be days. Of course, it would be good if we can spend more time like that. But it just have to be some time rather than no time. At least some time every day we are able to set aside, intentionally spend time with God. A quality time. So that we can listen to Him better and can start to see what He is doing in our lives. I believe even in our human relationship, for example, in husband and wife, if you don't talk to your husband and wife in 1 week, sure got problem one, right? But why can we do that to God? Huh? 1 week, don't talk to Him. Sunday only come, okay, God, I'm here. After 1.5 hours, okay, God, bye, see you next week. Somehow we don't see any problem with that. But try do that to your spouse. Probably cannot enter the room. So we need to spend time with God. And seeing and looking alone is also not enough. Because hearing or listening on its own can still be meaningless. Yeah, as God mocked His servant, He says, "My servant sees many things, but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear." It means that our seeing and listening should be followed up with responses of obedience. So it means that as we spend time with God, yeah, we intentionally set aside time, we spend time with Him, maybe in prayer, reading of the Bible, meditation, and then we start seeing God's works in our lives, we start hearing God's words, then what's next? What's next is to do what we have seen, to do what we have heard. And this is what the Apostle Paul reminded the believers in Ephesians 5:8-14. And this is what he says. "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" So as we are able to listen and see, do not hide away from the problems that you have in our life, but act out according to God's word. Remove the darkness within us. Walk in the light. So listen and see. We have all become like the deaf and blind servant. Our life have disappointed God and we have failed to execute His commandments. But He did not give up on us, nor did He forsake us. And instead He sent His Son Jesus Christ to be the ideal servant, not only to be an example for us to see and follow, but also to be the ideal servant on our behalf. So therefore, listen and see. Listen to the words of Christ. See His works on the cross and commit ourselves to do according to His example. Walk in the light and not in darkness. Discern what is God's will and pleasing to Him. And may we also learn to always set aside time with God so that we can draw close to Him and be more sensitive to His voice. Let us pray. Father, this morning as we come before you, Lord, we acknowledge that in our lives we have often become like the deaf and blind servant of yours. Lord, because of all of the distractions that we have, with all of the things happening around us, we have easily forgotten about your words. And Lord, sometimes we even complain that we cannot see your presence, we cannot see your grace or your work or your blessing in our life. But it is not that you're not there, but it is because we have been blinded by the world, because we have become so deaf with the things around us. Lord, your word reminds us that you are always there. Just as you know that the Israelites will be blind and deaf, you have said that you will continue to lead them. You will continue to guide them. You will not forsake them. And we know that today you are the same. You are there. Just that we are not listening and we are not seeing. And so Lord, help us. Help us to open our eyes so that we can see, to clear up our ears so that we can listen. And we know that the only way that this can happen is for us to spend more time with you. Because the further we are from you, the less we hear and see you. So we need to come closer to you. We need to be more intimate with you. And this can only happen if we have the intention to set aside time to be with you, in your presence, with your word, in prayer, to listen to you. And Lord, forgive us. Lord, we know that in our busy life, very often we have promised, we say that, oh, in our free time we will pray, in our free time we will read the Bible, but that free time never came. And so Lord, we have not spent time with you for a long, long time. And so help each and every one of us this morning that we are able to find moments, yeah, in our daily life to draw away from the crowd, from the noise, from the stimulating environment, and just come before you to listen and see. For as we start to listen to your words, as we start to see your glory and your blessing, we know that our lives will change. Things will not be the same. And also give us, Lord, the strength to work out, to do what we have heard, to do what we have seen, to shape our lives to be more like Christ. And all of this takes action. So we ask that you help us, Lord. Guide us, Lord. Lead us into the light. Lead us to level ground. Lead us to your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.